muted it yet.
All right, it is 6 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Hello, everyone. We're going to go ahead and open up our special planning commission meeting today. We'll start with roll call.
Martin?
I'm here.
Lloyd?
Here.
Brian?
Here.
Kelly?
Present.
Quick?
Okay. And we have minutes. Have been reviewed.
There's a question on the minutes. Matt Mahoney was asked what type of road Abigail Place was. And I would like you to check and see if he said rock or pave.
Okay, I'll check into that tomorrow.
And that, I move that the minutes be approved.
Okay.
Second.
I agree. With that, you second it?
Yeah, yeah I did.
Okay, good. So we have those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, good. It's been approved. All right. So next thing on the agenda, new business. Not really any. Do we have any new business?
I don't know.
Nope. Okay. So with that, we'll go ahead and open up our hearing right now. Public hearing is open.
The Benton County Planning Commission is an advisory body to the Board of County Commissioners. Any recommendation made tonight by the Planning Commission will be referred to the Board of County Commissioners for final decision. The meeting tonight is being conducted in both in-person and virtual platform and is being digitally recorded, and consequently, in order to obtain an accurate record of the proceedings, all individuals who wish to address the Planning Commission must be recognized by the chairman before speaking. All individuals must speak clearly into the microphones provided. You must identify yourself by name and address. And for those who are attending via WebEx, please make sure that your microphone remains muted until you're called upon to testify. Any information presented tonight, such as written materials, photos, charts, drawings, scales, modules, etc., will be included in the public record and will be retained as evidence and must be left with the Planning Division this evening. And then I do have some questions to ask for the members, and then we can proceed. Does anyone have any interest in the property or the application at issue?
No.
No.
Unless they want to be nice to me. No.
No.
Do you guys own any property in close proximity of the property subject to the application?
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Does anyone stand to gain or lose any financial benefit as a result of the outcome of this hearing?
No.
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 Can the members hear and consider the application in a fair and objective manner?
Yes.
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 And has anyone engaged in any ex parte communications with either the proponents or opponents of this application?
No.
No. No.
All right. Well, looks like I get to hand it right over to Greg with the presentation.
So, Greg, we'll go ahead and do presentation here.
Okay. This is subdivision 2025-004. It is the preliminary plat of Cottonwood Canyon. The project is located in the Kennewick area, unincorporated Benton County. It is north of Badger Road and west of Cottonwood Springs Road. The applicant has submitted a preliminary plat application known as Cottonwood Canyon and an associated map. The plat includes 107 residential lots and two tracts. Specifically, the plat will consist of a residential development that's approximately 132 acres in size and consists of 107 residential lots with the average lot size of 1.05 acres. The lots are proposed to be served by a new public roads, potable water from a Group A water system, and individual on-site septics. The plat also includes two tracts. There's tract A, which is approximately 122.71 acres in size, and that'll be developed in the future through various phases that will have to go through its own CEPA review. And then tract B, which is owned by the water company to serve the development. We did meet our public notice requirements for this application. We've listed our applicable standards And we've also included our agency comments. We did receive comments from the Public Works Department, the Assessor, Fire Marshal, GIS, PUD, Health District, and Kennewick Irrigation District. We did make a recommendation of approval with 7 findings and 20 conditions, which does include the MDNS that was issued for this application on October 30th. And those conditions that are included with that are included with our preliminary, or with our recommendation of approval tonight. We also, in the 20 conditions, we are asking, there was one error when the staff report was put together under condition number 8. H and I under number 8, we are asking that those be removed and stricken from the record for this application. Those are a carryover from a previous application that we've had, and it just got carried over into the staff report. So it is still 7. We are still recommending the 7 findings and 20 conditions. It's just condition 8 would not include H and I. And so with that, we are recommending approval. And if you guys have any questions of us, we'll be more than happy to answer them.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. At this point, I don't have any questions.
I do.
Go ahead.
Here first.
Oh, all right. The letter from the Department of Health, she referenced 17 lots. I'm assuming that's a typographical error.
If she referenced 7, that would have been a typographical error.
Okay.
Yes.
The KID canal or ditch, is it lined?
That is when the applicant gives their testimony, we can get verification from them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. With right now, we'd like to open it up for applicant testimony. We have Mr. Weiser here. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, which one?
Yes. All right. Whoever would like to speak regarding this plat, come forward. Please state. You'll have to be sworn in, and they'll give you the information.
Just go Brittany, up to this one right here. Yeah. I just need you to state your name and your address, please.
Curtis Weiser, 102612 East 190 PRSD, Kennewick, 99338.
Thank you.
All right. So tell us about your plat.
Why don't you ask me a question?
Yeah.
This is just a continuation of the Cottonwood Springs subdivision. This has been in the works, obviously. We dead ended the roads into what we thought would be a future 20 years ago. So you can kind of see where the Cottonwood Springs development stops and then where this new one's starting. So.
Okay. So I noticed you have quite a few, separate segments of lots. So you're going to do it in phases, like a number of different phases. So I presume the reason for that is just for easy transition. I mean, so if you do a small phase, you've got people, you're going to have it completed, right?
Right.
So, and then it's going to be approved, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're going to go to the next phase.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. So while that phase is in transition of being built, I presume, so you're going to be doing the next phase, or are you planning on putting in the water and the services on, several phases, and so
well,
they can move through?
Complete that, we'll start the next one while that one's being sold or whatever, but the idea is not to bite off more than one, the market and the demand. And then I don't think we want to get 107 lots and try to, I mean, it's a lot to do at once, right?
Right. Well, I understand that. I guess the question is when you've got your water line in there,
yep,
at some point you terminate it, you got to put a valve stop in there, thrust block, all that good stuff.
Yep.
So you're going to do that at every phase, or are you just going to do several phases and then thrust block it and come back around?
I mean, obviously between us and the engineers, we'll find a right spot to do that. We'll do blow-offs and valves, and then we'll just connect to it and keep going for the next phase. Yes.
Okay. Because
we did that exact same stuff when we developed Cottonwood and
up above
and yeah. Cottonwood Creek. Well, right. The subdivision that's connected to this.
Right.
We did all the same stuff. So we built that out in phases, and we just stopped the pipes and into the next phase, and then we continued when we got ready.
And that worked out well for you?
Yes, very much.
Okay.
So in the first subdivision that you did, there was a question about mineral rights that came up. Has that been resolved for this section too?
Oh yeah, that was resolved.
Okay.
15 years ago.
And do you know if the canal is lined?
Yes, it is.
It is, okay.
So you will be providing a dust plan and control of soils and all that.
Yes, that's part of their requirements to start moving to
erosion. Yeah, that was one of the concerns that was addressed.
Yes. Yep.
We have question.
To turn that in before we start moving and get permits.
So right. My first question has to do similar to that, but traffic, construction traffic. How's that going to be arranged, and are you going to consider the current residents in Cottonwood Springs as a part of your plan?
Some of that we will obviously have to drive up and down the roads to get to this. Some of that will be mitigated through our farm road.
Yep.
So we'll stay on the gravel road and go around rather than track material out onto the public roads. But like... Yep. They're required of us is to put in a construction entrance with rock, and so we're not tracking mud and debris out onto the road. So yes,
and that's part of the concern, but the other part is behavior of drivers.
Absolutely
right. So that's got to be addressed. We got children and pets and all sorts of stuff in the neighboring community, right?
Absolutely.
So we got to manage that,
and that's us that deals with that. So okay. It'll just be our people and whatever. I don't think we plan on having too many outside people working on this, so it'll be us doing most of the work.
Cool. So I know who to talk to.
Yes, you did.
The other issue is, have we learned and applied lessons learned from the flood down Case? Because this is part of that landscape that it came from, right? Yes.
So. Good question. There's a lot that goes into that, answering that question. One of them's from people that are way smarter than me as far as infiltration. That will be addressed, of course. County knows about that. We know about that. Our engineer knows about that. So we didn't really have too many issues in developed property with flooding. It came from raw ground, like farm ground, which you can't do anything about when you have 6 inches of snow melt in a 6 hour period, it happens, right? It's a natural thing. But in the development, as we develop, it's only going to get better as far as holding water.
Don't disagree.
And keeping it from moving so much. So that, yes, that's all part of the plan.
But one of the things that was brought up as a part of that event was sizing of your, culverts and drains and management of them, right? The plugging issues, things like that I'm a little concerned about.
Absolutely. And I think there's some work to be done there. We'll get with the county, of course, and the road department, and we'll figure out the right thing to do. But like I said, that's all based on calculations from engineers that is way above my pay grade. But culverts and stuff that are under county roads, of course, that's a county maintenance issue. We will do the best we can to try to keep water in the ditches like it's designed, obviously, and if we have to oversize some ditches to do that, then that's the plan. So
okay, that's all I had.
What direction does the wind predominantly flow?
From the southwest. So it actually blows kitty corner up this property, so yes,
kind of right up the canyon, and it'll come right across.
That's another reason, back to the question of biting off more than we can chew at one time. Is we want to keep it small enough that you can manage it and we don't have things get out of control as far as the 50 mile an hour wind storms that we get.
Further erosion and soil movement and everything else.
I do have one more thing. So on this plan, we have the road going to the north.
Yes, sir.
That does not go all the way through. What is the future?
You can ask some of the counties, you know, but it was between us and the county. It's projected possibly in the future of connecting up to Bermuda is what I've heard. So they asked if we would at least draw it into our plans. So sure. If they decide that they want to do that in the future, that won't be us. It'll be them. But we agreed that we would do that.
For so them. There'll be a stub there within your development.
Yes.
So in case of future county
yes.
action, they'll tie into it.
That was the plan.
So if that went through, that would give them an access to a different access to get across the freeway from Bermuda?
No, it would connect to Bermuda. Bermuda goes across the freeway now and then dead ends in the sagebrush piece above us.
You go further north.
And so that road would continue down and tie into our road potentially in the future. Is what I
heard. Does it ever get up as high as Summit View up there?
Bermuda is close to Summit View, but not quite. But yeah,
right.
It'll be up there close. I can't answer how it's going
to
connect.
There's a parcel to the north of this that's owned by BLM
right
now. So we've had thoughts of ideas and discussions with BLM trying to see what the future might hold there. But
that would possibly ease some of the traffic congestion. Yeah.
That's a long term.
Right. But, so I noticed in one of the future schemes that you had there, I saw it looked like there was like a little tie-in to
you're talking in the piece that's
the future down below. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you're going to tie in to Cottonwood?
Yes, sir.
Looked like, I mean, then that was another question that some of the other residents had is why don't you do that now, you know, versus and I was thinking, well, okay, looking at that, that is a future plan.
It is, and some of that will have to be discussed when we get to that point. As far as residents that live there, everybody wants everything right now, of course, right?
Oh, sure.
I can't answer what that's going to take place depending on traffic and all that stuff, but there's been discussion about other ways to get in and out of there. But yes, the idea is that main road that goes north and south there will go down and then come back and tie into the entryway of Cottonwood Spring.
Right. So people could get directly into that subdivision rather than have to trickle through the other subdivisions and come back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know what the improvement plans are for exit 109 off the freeway?
I can't answer that. I know that we have an assessment that every lot out here has to pay as we speak for that. So like every one of these people, when they buy this lot, has to pay like we have on all of our projects. Pays a mitigation fee for that. But that's up to these guys to answer that question. I can't answer.
We do have our public works engineer here this evening, Matt Rasmussen, and I'm sure he can cover that.
Future.
Yeah, as we get through our agenda under agency testimony, we can have Matt come up and answer that.
Okay, let's see here. So the fire marshal had requested to have plans and everything for your fire and water system.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty standard.
Yep.
And then when that goes through approval, then he'll sign off on the plat for that. Yes. Okay.
There's a whole host of regulations.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, you even had to pay some fees for shrub disturbance and wildlife mitigation.
We didn't have a lot of the sagebrush because this has all been farmed, but we did have to go in and look for artifacts and all kinds of stuff that we've had to do. Yes.
The H and I are the ones, those are the conditions that we requested be removed from those were the ones, those two regarding the shrub step mitigation.
Yeah.
Those were the two that we're asking be removed from the staff report.
That's good. Okay. I don't have any more questions.
I noticed the comments made by Benton Clean Air. Benton Clean Air referenced they wanted one person as the point of contact for dust complaints. However, in Article 4 on page 4-2, under their policy, it calls for two. And
we usually have to, before we start construction, have to turn in a dust control to the county, and then that'll have emergency numbers on it.
For right. And I'm going to recommend that that contact information for the two people be given to the president of the HOA, to the adjoining division, so he can contact you when they're.
I got it covered.
Starts.
I think you got to ask that.
Yeah, you're going to get numbers.
Yeah, I got them.
And I think that you should have somebody on site with the water truck when the wind speeds exceed 10 miles per hour.
We do a pretty good job of water, so I don't know if anybody puts down more water than we do. So,
well, I saw a picture presented by Dewan Recknagel that showed that there was quite a bit of dirt blowing.
That well, was during farming practices and drought conditions.
Okay.
So when you have potatoes come off and water shut off and it's farming operations, it has nothing to do with development. And she lives right next to the farm. So.
Okay, and I noticed on the east border of the subdivision that you're going to be building, most of the properties along there have fences.
Yes.
There are a few that do not have fences covering the front yard. You're going to put a barrier on their front, on the edge of their front yard, to keep any dirt from blowing into the grass?
We surely can. There's a gravel road that separates anything we'll be doing from their yards. So there is some protection there. But
yeah.
That's something we can for sure do. But we
When the wind blows, the dirt goes with it, and the gravel road's not going to stop it.
I understand it.
This is zoned RL1.
Correct.
Okay. And everything from the north, south, and west is RL5.
North, west.
According to the staff report.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
So was this originally RL5 and changed to RL1?
This was an area, I don't know what it was pre-2018. I do know in the comprehensive plan in 2018 that the RL1s were established, and we have a few. We have some out by a little bit of area out by Prosser. We have this area in Badger Canyon. We have some in East Kennewick, but a logical outer boundary was established around some of these existing developments that were originally done pre-GMA. This area, this part of the farm, was included in one of those original plats. And so we were able to work with the state and Washington State Department of Commerce to include these areas into these RL1s. These RL1 areas can't be expanded. They can't beyond what they are today, according to how the laws are written, but they can be infilled. And so that's what they're doing here, is they're infilling within that logical outer boundary and infilling at a 1 acre standard.
So we don't know if it was originally in an RL5.
I don't know that off the top of my head what it was pre-2018. I just know when it was established as RL1.
You aren't providing any provisions for open space.
Open space, Cottonwood, which is connected to Cottonwood, has a 5 acre park already existing,
right,
which is more than enough for the subdivision.
And you commented that the property to the south is going to be considered open space.
Property to the south is railroad.
Are
you talking about tract B or whatever it is?
Yeah, lots 9 through 9 through 10, or 9 through 13. Can't see it from
there. I don't know any.
But between the east border and the center roadway, at the bottom there, there's
that eight lots. A is the only thing, and it will be filled in at some point.
So there will be another phase to fill in
below that.
To that? Okay.
Yes. We actually have a couple. The 5-acre park in Cottonwood Springs, there's also a 4-acre piece that borders Cottonwood Drive on the south end. That's common area.
Can I smart in?
Yes.
Jarrett Weiser, 102-609 East, 190 PRSE, Kennewick, Washington, 99338.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You can proceed.
So there will be some open space that will be shared between this section and this section, and it will be quite a large piece probably right here.
Where the pump station is.
That's our.
We're not going to be able to put houses. Also have this tract up here that would be considered an open space as well.
That northwest corner there? Is that,
yeah. Above.
Is that on the other side? Is that a canal there? What is it?
Canal.
Yeah.
This is a canal. That's
right. So it'd be on the north side of the canal.
Yes, sir.
But it'd be accessible by foot?
By foot.
Not driving. Okay. So.
We have a bridge there now. We have to have access to our water towers that are up there.
Okay.
That's our holding tanks.
So like in the Cottonwood Springs development, which is lots, how big your park is? Five?
The park's around five.
Okay. So we'll end up with space here between these two tracks. Then
But what that on the other side of the canal, you're going to have more as a natural environmental condition, right? With sage and whatever's there. Okay. This area down here with the pumps, are you planning on graveling that to manage that ground? Or
I can't answer exactly what's going to take place yet, but there will be some turf there, I'm sure, eventually.
But there is natural grass there currently and a lot of gravel currently.
Yeah.
It's very dust
controlled.
Yeah. But you
know
that they walk there. Yep. Any more questions for these gentlemen? All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
You.
Appreciate it. Okay. So we have anybody interested in that's here to testify, proponents for the subdivision?
Well, we also have we had agency testimony. Yeah, if you guys had questions for our Public Works Department regarding any of the road situations, did you guys? We could certainly have Matt Rasmussen join us.
Does that include roads?
Yes, roads.
Hi, gentlemen. Matt Rasmussen, Deputy County Administrator, County Engineer. And then, Lloyd, you asked the question about what was going to happen with the interchange over there. We have a couple of projects that we're working on. One that is probably going to go into construction next year, where we've got some federal funding secured. And that's just going to do some rechannelization of that intersection, starting at the roundabout and then going all the way south to Weiser Parkway. It'll create a separate right turn lane. So for people who are turning right off of Badger onto Weiser Parkway, that lane will drop off and then there'll be another lane that goes straight through. So that'll help allow cars that are sitting there waiting to make a left turn. They'll know, hey, these people are going to turn right. There'll be some delineators and things like that to separate those two lanes. And so that's the first project we're going to do. As Curtis mentioned, every one of these lots pays a $3,500 mitigation fee to help with future improvements. And so the long-term plan is to take that Weiser Badger intersection there, and we will likely put a roundabout at that location similar to what's up at Leslie and Clearwater. So I can't speak for the state beyond what we're doing with the rechannelization, what their long-term plans are. We tried pretty hard to get them to realign some roads there and line things up better with the interchange to clean it up, but they weren't interested in that. But at some point they'll have to come in and do some work on their own. But our long range plan is to put a roundabout in at that location because of the, we have a very high volume of people going one direction. A T intersection doesn't work real well.
So roundabouts will typically give you greater traffic flow.
It'll definitely improve the traffic flow. Yeah, because right now, if you live out there, you drive out there, you know, most people are going south and turning right or coming off of Weiser and going north. That's the dominant movement. And so we need a roundabout there would make that flow very well. You wouldn't see those backups over the train tracks and things like that.
All right.
Any other questions?
Yeah. So with the growth, with this project, with the next, Badger Road gets hammered with bicyclists. Mm-hmm. And there's really not much there for them to avoid the main lanes.
Right.
It's two lanes, right?
Yep.
Is there any future plans to do any widening with the third middle turn lane or bike lanes?
So we have looked, we've been trying actually for several years now to get funding to go in and add a separated bike path along Badger Road going from the Leslie roundabout all the way down to Dallas Road eventually. We definitely know that that's an issue and we want to do something about it, but it's a multi-million-dollar project that the county needs federal assistance to help pay for. So it is on our plan. But yeah, it's definitely on our plan. That's something that we have recognized as a challenge out there.
I'm just concerned with the growth that we're going to have a fatality.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah. We definitely appreciate where you're coming from and have been trying very hard to get funding. We apply every time a round of funding comes out for a bicycle ped. So we're working on it.
So what's the major cost? Is that going across the track there?
The major cost, it's a lot. As you know, there's no shoulders there now. The road drops off pretty quick into the kind of drainage area.
Right.
The major cost is going to be going in. You got to acquire an easement and access from the railroad because that's all railroad right away up to the roadside. Right. And then there's just a lot of grading to do to get that in. So.
Okay.
They don't want widened shoulder, now the state, if you're going to put in a bike, they want a separated pathway.
Sure.
So you can't just go
and wide. There's plenty of room to do it. The easement is plenty large.
Oh, yeah.
Enough,
the rail easement is plenty
to put
wide
a strip enough down there to do it. You just need the backfill.
There's probably a couple of excavators just up the street over there be happy to help you fill that in.
I think the railroad would be a little upset if we just started doing that, but They don't even let us put guardrail near their easements without getting four of their guys out there. And we just paid a $4,000 permit to them just to go into their easement a foot to put a guardrail post in. So they're a challenge.
Right.
And then we do mention on that Bermuda or the extension up to the top there for Bermuda. That's on our probably 20-year plan. To get that done, obviously working with the BLM and trying to secure access and then building that road and eventually connecting it through, but it is our long range transportation plan to put that in.
So,
any more questions I can answer?
So do you see any other improvements off of Badger that would improve access into this area in the future down the road?
Eventually if we see, depending on kind of what happens here, again, that's where that mitigation fee comes in. We've looked at the possibility of intersection improvements down at Badger and Cottonwood Creek. And so we'll just keep an eye on the traffic there and see where people go and see if that one needs to be improved to beyond what it is right now.
All right.
Do you foresee a traffic light at Badger and Cottonwood?
Badger and Cottonwood. I wouldn't foresee a traffic light out there.
No.
I think if we were going to do anything on there, it'd be another roundabout more likely. They're just in our area with the traffic volumes we have, the roundabouts. I know a lot of people get frustrated by them, but they're way safer, way easier to navigate, and we don't have the maintenance issues. Traffic lights pretty unexpected in a rural area like that, so people are a little more used to the roundabout. So that'd probably be our preferred mitigation.
Definitely better than a three-way stop or a four-way stop.
Yeah. Yep. Anything else, gentlemen?
I'm good. Anybody else? Yes. Good. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Greg, we got anybody else before we get proponent testimony here?
I don't believe so. Nope. I think we can jump right into proponents and opponents and clarifications.
Right. So do we have anybody online that would, or Brittany?
There is nobody online. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to come up and
any opponents testify in the audience to this? Okay.
Not that I see.
Okay. So
no one in the audience or online.
All right. So so I guess we'll go in right into the clarifications and stuff. So
we've
pretty well kind of hashed that out, to tell you the truth. I don't think we've got anybody else at testimony at this point, so I guess we'll just close the public hearing section, and then we'll talk about it ourselves here and see what you guys think.
Well, I personally want to include those four things I talked about with regarding the dust control and the approval.
Well, we do have the Clean Air Agency that does have those standards.
They mentioned was one person when their policy calls for two.
I understand that. If we go and add additional comments, then the county will be enforcing those.
I'll take care of enforcement.
And my recommendation to this board is to allow the Clean Air Agency to administer those codes, as the county does not. That we're not the enforcement agency for air quality. We're very fortunate to have them and to allow them to do their jobs. That would be my recommendation tonight.
It will be the HOA will have names if there's complaints.
Absolutely. I think they're on the record as saying that they would certainly share that information with the adjoining HOA. But I do encourage you guys to allow the air quality to administer their rules. I think from our standpoint, we don't, as a county, going above and beyond their rules, then we would end up enforcing those. And that's,
I think one of the things that Mr. Weiser, you know, brought up was the fact that because they're doing smaller subdivisions, they're doing smaller segments of subdivisions, breaking them into different parcels, that will help with the dust control.
Absolutely. I mean, they're looking at six or seven different phases in there, and that'll make a big difference as you're dealing with 10, 12, 15 lots versus 107.
Which isn't very big, right? Correct. Sorry, truth. Right.
Well, then we'll rely on Mr. Weiser to put up that barrier on the open grass along the east boundary of the property to keep the dirt from blowing into the grass.
Are you asking me?
I'm saying we're going to rely on you doing that.
Okay. So there's a SWIP plan. So I assume that calls for that. There's a SWIP plan in place, I assume, that calls for that barrier around your site. So technically, it should be handled.
So, and I imagine there's going to be natural vegetation there as well, which would, or vegetation that you would plant to hold the soils down.
When after we get out our rain phase, we will hydroseed,
Okay.
So there's a lot of things that we do.
Right.
We've done water trust drain. Since we're done draining, we can hydroseed.
Okay.
How many water trucks do you have?
I can't, I mean, to be honest, like, well, in the, like, you get 50 mile an hour wind while you're out there, it's going to be dust, or that's like, maybe you got a break, but we do the best under the circumstances.
I guess I did have one question. I didn't ask when you were up here, and I'm sorry for not asking it. But that the section A that you're not going to be, yeah, the lower section, that's still going to have a half circle in there, right? And you'll still be able to farm that, and you still have access to irrigation.
Oh, absolutely. And so remember the piece that we showed you the map of.
Right.
We start the map and working what would be counterclockwise.
Sure.
Around a circle that already exists.
Right.
That circle will continue to be farmed.
Right.
So we will be taking chunks out of a circle that is still running.
Right.
And being farmed.
So if worse, right. So if worse came to worse, you could apply water if you had to.
All okay. Things will be open at the time everything else will still be farmed and have a balance go on.
Okay.
Where the house is, the current house is subdivision, it'll be backyard to backyard.
Disturbing that whole area. Sure. Okay, I'm good.
Okay.
And just to clarify, the important thing, they actually asked for 2 feet. So we have to put that on that list of 2 feet.
Right. In their policy, it calls for 2, but in their comments, they said 1.
So, all right. Okay. All right, gentlemen, are we okay now? All right. So we'll entertain a
motion. Mr. Chair, I move that the Planning Commission forward a recommendation of approval to the Benton County Board of Commissioners for application SUB 2025-004. Subject to the 7 findings of fact and 20 conditions of approval as stated in the staff memo dated October 30, 2025, which includes the preliminary plat approval for 107 residential lots, and that the chairman, in conjunction with the secretary of the Planning Commission, prepare and adopt written findings and conclusions reflecting the commission's recommendation for approval that articulate and are consistent with the findings, conclusions, and recommendations made by the Planning Commission tonight.
You have a second?
Can I interject really quick before a second? Can I have you add the removal of condition 8, H and I, out of the staff report?
We will do that.
Thank you. So, I appreciate it.
Get done.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now we can go for a second.
Okay, I'll second.
All right. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, let's show unanimous, and we'll forward this to the commission for future action. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. I think we'll terminate our hearing. Yeah. Thank you.
Just so you guys know,